Hello everyone and welcome to this podcast. My name is Aniket Chaudhary. If you are new to the podcast, make sure that you follow the podcast as well as like and share this particular episode, which helps us rank higher in search history. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to save income tax. Well, this is in the hit list of most of us if we are salaried and we want to save our income tax by whatever means possible. So we are going to take a look at what all provisions are there in the Income Tax Act and what all deductions we can claim so that our taxable income is reduced and we end up paying lesser tax to the government, because all the money that we earn is hard-earned money and we have to work really, really hard for it. All right, so let's begin. Our salary comprises of four major components. There are various other components as well, but there I can name the four prominent components which the salary comprises of. They are basic, HRA, special allowance, and LTA. Right? So basic and HRA and special allowance, they make up most of your salaries, and this is the gross salary which you get in your account. Right? Now, this gross salary has to be reduced by a few deductions which are available as per the norms of the Income Tax Act. And when you reduce this, that is your gross salary minus deductions, what you get is the taxable income. And this taxable income is then taxed as per the tax slabs. The tax slabs currently in the old regime are as follows: 0 to 2.5 lakhs is nil, no tax. 2.5 lakhs to 5 lakhs is 5%. 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs is 20%, and above 10 lakhs is 30%. This is as per the old regime. The new regime is a bit different. We'll be having a comparison of old regime and new regime in some other podcast very soon, which is out of the scope of this podcast. But here we'll concentrate on what all sections are there which can make our deductions increase our deductions, which can reduce the taxable income. All right, firstly, the deduction which can be claimed is the HRA deduction from your HRA. Now, how do you do that? Your HRA amount or your 40% of basic, if you are in a non-metro city apart from Delhi, Mumbai, Chennai, Kolkata, and a few other metro cities. Apart from this, if you're staying in any other city, then it is 40% of basic, or else it is 50% of basic if you are living in a metro city. Okay, so this is point number two, and the third is rent minus 10% of basic. So these are the three things that you need to calculate. The first one, again, I'll repeat, is the HRA amount which you get in your salary, or 40% of your basic, or rent minus 10% of basic. And out of these three values, whichever value is less will be reduced from your HRA amount, which will reduce your taxable income thereafter. All right. So to understand this, let's take a very simple example, because it can be confusing and examples are the best way to understand. So let's take an example that, let's say you're having a salary of around, let's say it's 20,000. Let's say the salary is 20,000. Now, out of this 20,000, 10,000 is basic, HRA is 5,000, and special allowance is 5,000. So 10,000 basic, HRA 5,000, special allowance 5,000, this makes it a total of 20,000, which is your salary. And you pay a rent of rupees, let's say 3,500, wherever you are staying. This is just for example purpose, right? There is nothing in the world which is costing just 3,500 rupees per month. All right. So just for example purpose, let's say you're paying a rent of 3,500. And with this as your data, let's first of all calculate the HRA amount. The HRA amount is 5,000. As we just mentioned, the next point, 40% of basic, that is 40% of 10,000 is 4,000. All right, the third point, rent minus 10% of basic. The rent you're paying is 3,500. 3,500 minus 10% of basic is 1000, because basic is 10,000 in all, right? So 10% of basic is 1000. So 3500 minus 1000 is equal to 2500. Now out of these three values, the least one is 2500. Out of 5000, 4000 and 2500, the least value is 2500. This 2500 can be claimed as a deduction, and hence your taxable income becomes HRA minus 2500. HRA in this case is 5000. So 5000 minus 2500 is equal to 2500. This is your taxable income, and this is your taxable income as far as the HRA is concerned. So the entire component of HRA which you're getting in your salary is not your taxable income. It can be reduced with the help of this particular deduction, and which can reduce your HRA amount, right? So this is one deduction which you can claim. A rent less than 1 lakh rupees per year, for this you don't need any receipts. About that, you need receipts and the PAN number of the householder and all of that. Apart from the HRA deductions, there is Section 80, and most of us just know the Section 80C, in which you can claim the mutual funds, the FDs, life insurance premiums, and the principal amount of your loan and all of that. But we are not very much aware of various other rules under this Section 80C, the various other points which are covered under Section 80, right? So let's go one by one. There is Section 80C, as I just mentioned, which includes your provident fund, ELSS, that is mutual fund, tax saving mutual funds, FDs, home loan principal amount. So this is covered up to 1.5 lakhs. You can claim deductions under Section 80C in these instruments up to rupees 1.5 lakhs. Apart from this, there is 80CCD, which gives you additional deduction of rupees 50,000 if you invest in NPS, National Pension System, right? If you invest in NPS, you can claim a deduction of up to 50,000 rupees. Then there is Section 80CCC, in which you can claim a deduction of which comes under your life insurance premium. So if you're paying a premium for your life insurance, then the premium which you're paying can be reduced from your gross salary, and your taxable income can be reduced. If you're not having a life insurance yet, friends, make sure that you're having it right now, today itself. Life insurance is the first thing as far as personal finance is concerned. Having an emergency fund and having life and health insurance, these are the three main facets before you start your journey. So have a life insurance, have a term life insurance of around more than 1 crore. This is what it depends actually on your income, how much earnings you have and all of that. But to give you a very rough and a generalized idea, everybody today, I think, should have a life insurance of more than 1 crore rupees. Right, I have a life term insurance of 1.25 crores and I pay rupees 15,000 every year. That is because I took it way back. Right, the next section is 80TTA. In Section 80TTA, you can claim the interest earned in your savings account up to rupees 10,000 only. So let's say if you have some amount in your savings account, in your bank savings account, you get some interest out of it, right? That is the reason why you keep your money in nationalized banks, because they give you an interest. If this interest for the entire year is less than or equal to 10,000 rupees, you can claim this amount of 10,000 rupees, and it can be reduced from your tax from your gross salary, and which will reduce your taxable income. But don't make use of this section 80TTA in your life, because the reason for this is if you are earning interest of around 10,000 rupees per year on your deposits, that is in your savings account, then you're really keeping a lot of money in savings accounts, which is actually idle money and which is giving you lesser returns as compared to inflation. So don't make use of this 80TTA. I mean, don't ever keep idle money in your savings account. You must have only that money which you might need in the coming 10, 15 or 20 days. If you need it, if you think you can need it, just keep it there from an emergency point of view or some expense point of view. Like you can make use of Google Pay or swipe your debit cards whenever you want to make some expenditure. Keep that amount of money only in savings accounts in banks. So don't claim ATTTA. Don't earn interest from savings bank account. Don't keep that much money in savings bank account, and don't claim ATTTA, because that is a very, very not so good to thing to do, keeping your money in savings accounts. All right. The next section is section ATGG. You can claim rent, the rent that you pay if your salary does not have the HRA component. If your employer is not giving you HRA as a component in your salary, then you can claim the rent under section ATGG. All right. The next section is ATE. Now, ATE is interesting. If you have taken an education loan, if you're a student, you can claim all interest that you pay for your education loan for up to 8 years. So all the interest that you're paying for repayment of your education loan, you can claim that up till 8 years under this section of ATE. Right? It has to be an education loan, not a home loan. The next section is ATD, D for Delhi. ATD gives you the provision of claiming your premium for medical insurance. Medical insurance, just like life insurance, is a must thing to have in your portfolio, right? You make sure everybody in your family is covered with medical insurance, and especially after COVID, we know how important that is. So section under section ATD, you can claim the premium of medical insurance and take that as a deduction in your income. The next section is section ATG. If you made any donation, if you made a charity in the PM fund, CM fund or in disaster fund, then you can claim all that amount in section ATG. There are various other clauses to it as well, but I'm giving you just a overview of it. So section ATG will help you to claim the benefits, claim the donation that you have done to all these charity funds. So there are various other sections as well. This is not all, but this is an overview, and all the main points are covered. Section 80 has got all these provisions to it. We are mostly aware of section 80C only, in which we can claim 1.5 lakh rupees, but then there is section 80CCD, and which gives you additional benefit of 50,000 in NPS, which is really, really good. NPS is a debt-oriented instrument. It is not very much a equity-oriented instrument. So if you want to just get an idea of whether NPS is good or mutual funds are good, mutual funds are better, right? Mutual funds are better for the long term because they'll give you more than 12, 13, 14% in that range. Aggressive mutual funds will give you more than 15%. If you want to invest in ELSS, it will give you around 14%, 15% in the long term. Right? And NPS, on the other hand, is more towards debt. It is less towards equity, though there is option of choosing a conservative or aggressive plan in NPS as well. But still, I invest 50,000 every year in NPS, and I am expecting around 10% or 9.5% or maximum 11%. I don't think I'll be getting 11, but I think 10% is a good figure to have from NPS. This is what I'm expecting, so it's good. You can have some allocation towards debt as well. If everything else is equity, you can afford to have that. Not a very great instrument, NPS, but then yes, it will help you beat inflation, just about beat inflation, and it will also help you claim deductions under section ATCCD as well. All right, so this is all in today's episode, friends. If you want some help regarding equity investments, regarding ELSS, mutual funds and all, you can contact me on my WhatsApp number. That is my main profession, actually. I'm a mutual fund and an equity advisor. I've got clients from all over India, and I cater to mostly equity and debt funds, liquid funds and all of that. So if you want help and if you need my services, please contact me and I'll be happy to help. This is all in today's episode. This is how you can save tax and increase the deductions to the maximum and take benefit of all these sections and reduce your taxable income. We'll have a dedicated episode for old tax regime versus new tax regime, in which we'll be talking about who should opt for the new regime and who should not. Thank you for giving your valuable time and listening to the podcast till the very, very end. And I'll be seeing you once again very soon. Thank you.